Here. Aditi remained out in the corridor. Aren't you coming in? Jordan called to her. She broke into a bright smile and stepped into the sitting room. Jordan looked around the room. It was handsomely furnished with a long, low sofa, several armchairs, two desks on opposite walls. The walls themselves glowed slightly, a pearly gray. Wall screens, he realized. He noticed a faint trace of a floral scent. Jasmine, he wondered. If this is a dormitory room, Brandon said, grinning, I can't imagine what your luxury hotel suites must look like. Jordan saw that the doors leading to the bedrooms were both open. The bedrooms looked identical. Large, comfortable, attractively appointed. He caught a glimpse of a small gray creature that scurried beneath the bed in one of the rooms. Startled for an instant, he recovered his composure. Vacuum cleaner, he reminded himself. You can communicate with your ship, said Audrey, using the wall screens. Aditi said, The closets contain robes in your sizes. We were uncertain as to what you would prefer for clothing, so we merely provided the robes. I hope they're satisfactory.
Perfectly satisfactory, Jordan said. Brandon joked, I hope whoever's in the room above us isn't a flamenco dancer.
Audrey's expression went so perplexed that Jordan had to stifle an urge to laugh. Flamenco dancer? Aditi asked, also obviously puzzled.
It's a form of entertainment, Brandon explained, and he stomped his feet a few times while snapping his fingers.
I see, said Audrey, still a bit uncertain. But Aditi broke into laughter.
It's a joke. You were being humorous.
I was trying, Brandon said.
Quite seriously, Audrey said, I can assure you whoever is residing above this suite is not a flamenco dancer.
Jordan said, We're glad to hear that. And he studied Aditi's vivacious, happy face, reveling in the sound of her laughter.
Audrey said, If you don't mind, we'll leave you two to familiarize yourselves with your quarters and relax a while. Shall I call for you for dinner in a few hours? Will that be all right?
That'll be fine, Brandon said. To Aditi, Jordan asked, Will you join us for dinner?
If you like, she said.
I'd be very pleased if you did.
With a smiling nod, Aditi said,
I'll be happy to.
Once they were alone in the sitting room, Jordan flipped his pocket phone open and called Thornberry. To his surprise, the roboticist's face appeared on the wall screen opposite the sofa, slightly larger than life.
All is well, Jordan reported. Swinging the phone slowly around the room, he went on. As you can see, they've set us up in very comfortable quarters. We'll be having dinner with Audrey in a little while.
We've been monitoring you through your phone, Thornberry said, his heavy brow slightly knitted. Glad to get visuals, though. Now, what was that business about energy domes?
Jordan felt mildly annoyed. They were eavesdropping, he thought. We'll have to turn the phones off if we want any privacy.
I'll ask Audrey for more details, he replied. When you come down here, perhaps you can meet with their technical people.
I'd like that, said Thornberry.
What about Meek and Defia, Jordan asked. Are they coming up to the ship or staying down here?
Hazard came into the picture, behind Thornberry's shoulder.
They're coming up here. I pointed out to them that they'd just have to go back tomorrow, but they insisted on returning to the ship. They're really spooked, especially Silvio.
I'm afraid so, Jordan agreed.
How are the aliens treating you? Hazard asked.
Very well indeed, said Jordan. You can tell Defia to relax.
You're in uncharted territory, Jordan, Hazard said. Be careful.
Thanks for the advice. I'll call you first thing in the morning.
Or sooner if you need to.
Yes, certainly. But for now, I'm going to turn off our phones.
No, Hazard snapped. We need to be in constant touch with you.
Frowning slightly at the oversized image on the wall screen, Jordan said, I don't feel comfortable having you listening in on every word I say.
We need to know what's going on, Hazard insisted.
Thornberry agreed with a tense nod.
Jordan saw that his brother was grinning at him. To Hazard, he said, Jeff, I'm going to pull rank on you. I'm going to turn off our phones after dinner. If they murder us in our sleep, you'll find out about it soon enough.
I don't like it, said Hazard.
I understand, Jordan replied. Your objection will be noted in the ship's log.
Once the wall screen went blank, Brandon said to Jordan,
You want some privacy when you're with Aditi.
Jordan tried to stare his brother down, failed, and at last admitted, "Wouldn't you?" The four of them had a leisurely meal in a sizable dining room down the corridor from their suite. Several dozen tables were filled with couples and larger groups. Human, or rather alien, waiters served trays laden with steaming soups, crisp salads, and savory meats. There was no wine, but Audrey introduced them to a pungent drink that somehow seemed to go well with each course. Jordan chatted with Aditi for the most part, leaving Brandon to talk with Audrey. "I take it that Audrey heads your government here," he prompted.
"Government?"
Aditi asked, as if the term was new to her. "He's your leader," Jordan said. "He makes the final decisions about things."
"Oh, you mean chief of the administration? Yes, you could say that's Audrey's position."
"And you? What do you do?" Again, Aditi looked briefly at a loss, but then her expression brightened.
"I'm a teacher."
"A teacher, really?" Jordan realized that he hadn't seen any children in the city, not one.
"Yes."
"Can you teach me your language?" She smiled.
"It's very different from yours. We use different tones, different parts of the vocal organ."
"Would it be very difficult to teach me?"
"It might be,"
Aditi said, her face growing serious.
"The most arduous part of learning is preparing the mind to accept new knowledge."
"I never thought of it that way."
"Would you like to see more of the city? The farms, the orchards, they're quite lovely."
Jordan felt she was changing the subject, but he nodded readily. "I'd be happy to have you show them to me."
"Good," said Aditi. "First thing tomorrow."
At last they finished the meal with cups of a brew very much like coffee. Jordan bade a reluctant goodnight to Aditi and Audrey. Then he and his brother made their way back to their quarters. "No dessert," Brandon noted. "So they're not trying to fatten us up for the slaughter," said Jordan. "From what Audrey told me, they don't slaughter meat animals. They grow their meat in biovats, just as we do on the ship." Jordan nodded. "Makes sense. Why raise an animal just to kill it when you can grow the same meat from a culture of a few cells?" They entered their suite. Jordan popped his phone open and called up to the ship. Trish Wanamaker's chunky face appeared on the wall screen. "Where's Thornberry?" Jordan asked.
"Sleeping, I guess. He's been at his station all day just about. I've taken over the night shift."
"I see. Well, we've had a pleasant dinner with our new friends, and now we're going to retire. I'll turn off the phones, but I'll call you when we awake." Wanamaker looked troubled.
"Jeff won't like that."
"I know. We've been through all that. Jeff will just have to accept it." With a shrug, Wanamaker said,
"You're the boss."
"Good night, Trish."
"Good night, boss."
Her image winked off, and Jordan clicked his phone's power button. Brandon pulled his phone from his shirt pocket and did the same. "No alcoholic beverages," Brandon observed as he went to the sofa and plopped down on it. "That drink they served with dinner wasn't bad, though," he said to his brother.
"I wonder why they didn't serve us the wine that Audrey told us they make."
Jordan shrugged. "Perhaps they didn't want us to get sloshed our first night here." Brandon grinned at him.
"It's been a hell of a day, hasn't it?"
"Indeed it has."
"Do you think Hazard's right? Are we in any danger here? Should we be on our guard?"
Jordan eased himself down onto the armchair nearest the sofa. "We're in the lion's den, Bran. If they harbor evil intentions, we'll know about it soon enough.
They've got a high technology, higher than ours, with their bioengineered animals and energy domes."
"And a lot more, I'm sure." Leaning forward intently, Brandon said,
"I get the feeling that they expected us. They knew we were coming."
"Well, they did set up the laser beacon to attract us."
"No, I don't mean that. I think they expected us to send a ship here. They probably tracked us all the way from Earth."
"Really?"
"They've been studying us, Jordy. For God knows how long. They've learned our language. They know where we've come from. It's like they expected us."
"They could have learned a lot by tapping into our radio and video broadcasts, I suppose. And the webs, of course."
"Why? Why would they do that?"
"Why not? They're as intelligent as we are. We sent probes to this planet before our mission was launched. Of course they knew about us. expected us.